Mike Bradford joins us on WRCO for our morning show. He is one of the great ambassadors for this year's 2026 Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination Walk with Grace. Well, Mike, first of all, thanks for stepping up and doing this. Well,
glad to do it. I'm happy to be here.
Glad to be here to tell your story a little bit. A lot of us, I guess, think we know you, but maybe give us a little bit of a background of yourself, if you would.
Well, I'm a Richland Center native, born and raised in Richland Center, graduated from Richland Center High School. The only time I've been away was 6 years I was in college. I became a veterinarian. And then I returned to Richland Center and have worked there ever since then. For 50 years, I was a veterinarian in Richland Center, retired in December 31 of 25. So I've just, been here almost all my life.
I do this a lot of times when I'm driving around the countryside, Mike, but I look at all the barns, and I think about, I may have been in that one. You were probably in almost all of them, I think, at one time, weren't you?
Well, I was in a lot of them, I have a lot of good memories. I really enjoyed the people a lot. We had wonderful clients, and I remember talking to my former colleague, Dr. Bill Hilleman. He said, when you retire, I said, well, do you miss it, Bill? I said, no, I don't miss the work, but I do miss the people. And I think... We develop some kind of special relationships, especially on the farms, because those visits usually took maybe an hour. And it's different than a 15 or 20 minute appointment. You got to know people, their families. So it was a great, great opportunity to get to know people.
And sometimes after hours, at all hours of the night too, right?
Well, that I do not miss, getting called in the middle of the night and when the phone would ring and you'd have to go out, and it was January and it was cold and snowy and blowing.
Definitely. And you had a wonderful family. You have a family that some of them are still in the area, right?
Well, my son David is still here, and I laugh. I tell at the end of my career why at the new clinic, he was a clinic manager, so I was working for my son.
That's not easy, I'm guessing.
He was a pretty good boss.
I'll bet he was. Yeah. Great. Well, let's talk a little bit about your cancer journey and when it began, Mike, if you could.
Sure. So, in August of 2019, my brother Daniel lives in California, and he called me up out of the blue and says, hey, I've just been diagnosed with prostate cancer. You maybe should get that checked out. And I had no symptoms. I had no reason to think I had any problems at all. I got to admit, I'd probably been to the doctor once in the previous 20 years, so I wasn't like a regular. And my father had prostate cancer, but his was a real slow kind of a cancer, and the doctors just kind of watch it. He actually died of complication of heart disease, so the cancer was there, but it really wasn't affecting his life. So that's how it all started. And so unfortunately, when I went to be screened, and that's what they do first, they kind of check you out. And so I have a physical exam, and they do a simple blood test called a, PSA. And, unfortunately the PSA indicated there was a high likelihood that I had a cancer present and possibly an aggressive form of cancer. So the next step then is to that's just a screening test. That doesn't say you have cancer. It just says, hey, there's a good chance there's something going on here. So you need to do something more specific. So then I had biopsies done of my prostate. And once again, they gave you these numbers. And a pathologist looks at these little biopsy specimens under a microscope and scores them. And they're looking at it to see, well, how aggressive of the cancer that you have. And the score is called a Gleason score, and the numbers run from like 6 to 10. And 6 being kind of like what my dad had. It's a watch and monitor kind of problem. You keep an eye on it, but it's not a big deal. Whereas a 10 is, hey, there's stuff going on, or you better be doing something. The doctor should be intervening somehow. And I was a 9, which was not what I wanted to be. So at that point, then, we knew we had a pretty aggressive cancer present. And the next step is, okay, well, where is it? Is it still in the prostate, or is it spread beyond the prostate? Because that really kind of determines what your options are at that point in time. There are basically two ways you go about treating cancer. Cancer of the prostate. One would be to surgically remove the darn thing, and if all the cancer is in the prostate, end a problem. But if the cancer's gone beyond the prostate, surgery may not work. And at this time, I was real lucky. And I have a daughter, Angela, who is a nurse practitioner and specializes in oncology, cancer treatments, okay? And so she was at that time in University of Loyola in Chicago, and she got me in to see the chief surgeon down there. So I had an in on that one, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. And they reviewed my history and looked at the tests to this point and said, you know, we don't think we can help you. Your cancer is beyond the prostate. It's in areas that we can't just surgically remove. So that means you're a candidate for radiation. And so at that point in time, I was scheduled to see doctors in Madison at Carbone Cancer Center, which we're really lucky to have that kind of facility so close to us. I received 28 radiation treatments starting in December of 2019 and entering in January of 2020. And when they got done, my PSA levels, which had been 78, which normal for me would have been 4, so had dropped to 0.69. That becomes the basis then that they're going to monitor, okay? As long as the PSA stays low, they're not going to do anything else. I guess I should back up a second. Before I even started radiation, they put me on a drug called Lupron. And what Lupron does, it shuts down the production of testosterone. Prostate cancer cells live on testosterone. That's what feeds them. That's what drives them to grow. So the thinking being, if you can keep the testosterone levels low, that the cancer doesn't have as good a chance to grow. So I get these Lupron injections every 3 months before, during, and after the radiation. But about 6 months after the radiation was done, maybe it was a year, I quit the Lupron because my PSA levels stayed low. And that's what they're doing after that. They're just looking at your PSA, saying, okay, we know what the baseline is it's 0.69. And it stayed there for a couple of years. But all of us, but I kept getting PSA tests every, I think it was 6 months or so. Well, then in June of 23, which is about, luckily, 3 years after I first had my radiation completed, it jumped up to, you know, like 2.55. So they're looking for it to double. So from 0.69 to 2.55, it more than doubled, didn't it? So I said, okay, cancer's back. You can't have radiation again. You do that. That's a one and done kind of a thing, okay? So the next thing they do is, okay, now you're a candidate for medical treatment. And so I went to see a oncologist in Madison, a very good man, and he started me on the Lupron again and another drug called abiraterone. And these drugs, once again, they shut down the testosterone in your body, and that tends to starve the cancer cells. And so after I started the Lupron and the abiraterone, the PSA went to an undetectable level. The abiraterone is a newer drug. My dad would never have had that when he had his cancer. It wasn't available yet then. But cancer cells can produce their own testosterone. That's really crazy. Huh. So even if you shut down the testosterone from your other normal organs in your body, the cancer cells produce their own. But abiraterone interferes with the synthesis of testosterone. So no matter where it's coming from, even if it's coming from the cancer cells, it mess up the synthesis and keep the testosterone levels low, which kind of starving the prostate cancer cells. And so at this time, you know, taking this abiraterone, taking the Lupron, one of the side effects of Lupron, you tend to get some thinning of the bone. And so the doctor had me checked to see if I, how my bone density was. So I have what's called osteopenia. Now that's not as bad as osteoporosis. It's like an intermediate level, okay? But because I have this osteopenia, I have to take vitamin D and calcium supplements for my bones, okay? And that's kind of where I am today. I take vitamin D and calcium every day. I get a Lupron shot every 3 months. I get abiraterone treatments every day. I take it. It's an oral pill. One of the side effects of abiraterone is it just doesn't shut down the synthesis of testosterone. It kind of messes with your adrenal glands as well. So I have to take a low dose of prednisone every day because the adrenal glands aren't producing as much as they normally would because the abiraterone's kind of working on them as well.
Kind of a domino effect. You take this, you
Right.
But it's all for a good cause. You seem to be doing well.
And that is, you know, I have what they call, Phil, oligometastatic metastatic cancer, okay? What that means is there's cancer cells present in my body beyond the original location of the prostate, okay? But there's a limited number of them, okay? This is a relatively new classification. Maybe in the last 5-6 years, they've kind of, used to be you had cancer, you didn't have cancer. Well, now there's kind of an intermediate stage, okay? And it's called oligometastatic. It usually means there's less than 5 places where they found the cancer outside of the original location, okay? And I guess that's the other thing I should mention, too, is that when the cancer came back, they wanted to know, well, where is it, you know? So I had another test. The first time when my cancer was diagnosed, I had an MRI to kind of diagnose where the cancer was, and they knew that it was beyond the prostate, so surgery was out. It was going to be radiation. Well, this time they had another test. It had just been approved, like shortly after I had my first diagnosis. It's called a PSMA CT scan, prostate-specific membrane antigen. That's what that PSMA thing stands for. It's a radioactive nucleotide. You inject that in your body, lights things up, and they can see where the cancer is. So that's, it's very, very accurate. And they can actually count and say, okay, there's how many spots where the cancer is. And so that's what they say, okay, you've got a, what they call oligometastatic, 5 or less sites where the cancer is present, you know. And that has a better prognosis than a highly metastatic cancer. Say if I had a highly metastatic cancer, the cancer would be everywhere, in my bones, in my lungs, you know, liver. It doesn't look like that right now. So that's where I have, you know. So I'm living with it, but as I said in the article, I'm living.
You're living. That's the main thing, Mike. You know, and I think about your story. Had your brother not called you, you may have waited a little while longer before you ever went to the doctor.
I'd have never, ever even bothered to look, you know. And interestingly enough, after he called me, I ended up calling my brothers. And so there are 4 of us all together. Turns out 3 of us have prostate cancer.
Wow.
So it's kind of a goofy thing, you know. And they did do some genetic testing because I was worried, well, is this something I'm going to give to my kids? Because I have 3 sons. And the genetic testing says, no, it's not something that you're inheriting that way. So once again, why did this happen?
Right. That's the million-dollar question with cancer, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And the other thing I thought about when you were talking, you mentioned your chemo that you did, and it ended in January of 2020, so that would have been right before the earth kind of stood still with COVID. So were any of your appointments affected then after that or not?
No, I was so lucky because it wasn't. You know, I mean, I'd gotten my radiation was done. I still had these Lupron shots, but they were like once every 3 months, you know, and no, so I was really lucky, yeah.
Yeah, and as it goes now, so you're just kind of going to your regular visits then and taking the medicine?
And that's one thing that's really kind of neat here, because the Richland Hospitals with the Kramer Center are affiliated with the UW, my first medical oncologist, that's the guy I had to see when the cancer came back, was in Madison. So I had to make trips to Madison every 3 months to see this gentleman. He retired. And so they assigned me to another doctor, and thank goodness the doctor they assigned me to is this Dr. Trevor Denny, who comes to Richland Center. So rather than traipsing down the road to Madison every 3 months, I just go to the Kramer Center. And I have my blood tests done here at the hospital. My treatments are done at the Kramer Center, the doctors at the Kramer Center. It's nice that way.
Couple of the facilities you mentioned here, Mike, the Carbone and the Kramer Center, both have benefited from greater Richland area cancer elimination. So.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and another thing, the tests that I have done, the last tests, like I say, weren't even available when I had my first diagnosis. This is a disease that a lot of research is happening in prostate cancer because it is the most common cancer for men to get, okay? And so a lot of research is going on. Things are happening all the time with diagnosis and treatments. Like I said, the abiraterone that I'm on now, that wasn't available when my dad had his cancer. And Grace really, through their support of this research, not only, you know, for what they do here, but all across the country, things are changing all the time with this prostate cancer, and there's a lot of good things happening.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they'll ever find a cure in our lifetime, Mike, but certainly they're making strides to be able to, like in your case, live with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And some people are cured of it. I have some clients that, you know, have had cancer and prostate cancer, and I don't know if we ever say cure, remission, what the right word is, but apparently they have no further. So I'm just one of the unlucky ones that didn't quite get it. You know? but once again, like you say, I'm living with it, and it's being very well managed up to this point with the medications that I take. So I think I consider myself very, very lucky that way, that I live when I live, and that so much money has been devoted to research in this area and treatments. And once again, Grace puts a lot of money towards research and treatments.
You and your wife have been great supporters of Grace, but it has a little different meaning this year, doesn't it?
It sure
as an ambassador,
does.
Right?
Yeah. Although it was always something that, even before I had my diagnosis, it was, I thought, a very good thing. And not just for the treatments and diagnostics that I have been able to receive, but a lot of money, I think, let's say like almost 60%, goes directly to help people, you know, with their food and gas and things they need. It's not paying for treatments, but it's paying to help them be able to live with this. And it's just a great organization, and we're lucky to have it in our community.
Another thing that ambassadors do a lot of times, I've heard this before, is somebody hears a story on the radio and they're like, you know what, I better go get checked. So if anything, Mike, I think you'll be grateful if somebody does, you know, because it's become quite prevalent. And all of us, I think it's human nature just to, put it off. And so hopefully somebody hears this and goes and gets a checkup, right?
Yeah, well, especially I think I've gotten to know a lot about this since I got my diagnosis, but you know, if they say anybody over a man, I'm talking about, and over 55 probably ought to have a PSA test done. You know, it's a simple blood test, doesn't take anything at all. And if there is a history of cancer in your family, like there was in mine, they recommend start at 45. So we probably should have started about 20 years ago, Phil.
Better late than never, though, right?
I guess so. I've met a number of my clients and former clients who have had prostate cancer. It's amazing how many people, I think the statistics say like 1 in 8 men at some point in their life are going to be diagnosed with prostate cancer. Now, they're not all going to die from prostate cancer. A lot of them will be like my dad. It'll be a kind of a watch and monitor thing. They don't even need to be treated, you know, but it should be checked out. You know, you want to make sure you're not one of the ones like me that does need to have treatment, you know, because you don't, that's something you don't want to wait on, you know. And unfortunately, like I say, I should have probably been screened a lot earlier, and maybe they could have caught it before it spread beyond my prostate. And at that point in time, perhaps they could have gotten it, you know, but it's just the way it is.
Yeah, you and I were talking before we went on the air. We all have cancer cells in our body.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like a bad lottery, isn't it?
Yeah. The genes that cause cancer are present in everybody. Not everybody's going to get cancer, thank God. But the potential's there. So, you know, if you're a high-risk individual, you know, like I say, with men, they just recommend, hey, if you're over 55, you ought to have it checked out. Speaking with my former client just today at a meeting, and he said he'd had his checked out, and it's like, 3 point, and it varies with your age. The older you are, the higher the number that you're allowed to have as a PSA number that is okay. So like for me, at my age when I was diagnosed, which was 69, a normal PSA would have been 4. So I'm 78, so that's not good. But this other gentleman told me his was like 3.2, so he's good, you know. But he needs to keep watching that.
What's it going to mean? You'll be taking that first lap with the other ambassadors this year at Grace. What are you going to be thinking? Have you thought about that?
You know, I guess I have, and I'm just glad to be here, Phil. I mean, somebody asked me the other day, so I said, the cancer got you. I said, nah, it hasn't gotten me yet. It's there, but I'm just glad to be here, you know, and be able to do things. And like I say, with what's going on today and with the research and the treatments that are coming out, it's not a death sentence for me. I hopefully will live as long as my dad. He made it to 96. That's kind of my goal right now. If I get to be 96, I'll be a happy man, you know?
Yes, you will. Well, that's awesome, Mike. Good to have you in here. Thanks again for stepping up and being an ambassador this year.
It was my pleasure. And like I say, I would just encourage everybody. Grace is a wonderful organization. I can't think of another outfit that has so little overhead. 98% of all the money that you're going to give to Grace is going to go directly to either helping people, working on treatments and diagnosis through research, you know, or buying equipment for the Kramer Center. 98% of your money is going right here to help people do something. So little is going to overhead, you know. Not many organizations can say that, Phil.
Right.
You know, and it's our organization here in town. You know, you're not sending money across the country to somebody else. It's our people doing the work here, and we're lucky to have them, you know.
Most definitely.
We're lucky to have them.
Well, we'll talk to you real soon, Mike. We'll see you at the walk.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
You bet. Mike Bradford joining us, one of the ambassadors for Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. Again, the walk for Grace goes on Friday night, August 14th.